Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord on today. We praise God for being here today. This is The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. If you are listening to me right now, you are blessed, not because you're hearing my voice, but because if you're hearing me right now, you are in the land of the living. This is the show that gets your weekend started off right. This is the show that where the gospel is told and not sold, y'all. We thank God for being here on the summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. It's a beautiful, beautiful Saturday in Jesus' name. Today, I am so overjoyed because we have a very, very phenomenal, phenomenal topic today. And I know last week we were not here because of the 4th of July holidays and everybody doing their thing with their families and things like that. So we took a little break for the holiday, but we're back and we are pushing forward in Jesus' name. We want to thank Blog Talk Radio and also the Spirit Alive Network. This is where you can come and receive a good word from the Lord in Jesus' name to build your spiritual, not just your natural man, but your spiritual man as well in Jesus' name. We thank God for our founder and our leader of Spirit Alive Network, Bishop Sherlene Cook. We thank you for allowing us to come one more time. In Jesus' name, we give God praise for this time. In Jesus' name, and we thank, like I said, Bishop Cook for allowing us to come and the Lord giving her the mind to tell us to come again in Jesus' name. We thank God in Jesus' name. Now, today we are talking about a phenomenal, phenomenal topic, and we're going to go in depth about this topic because I said on, not last week, but the week before, I know we were talking, I said that the topic would be about the benefits of the name of Jesus. Well, we're going to dive in a little bit into that, but today we're going to talk about the Godhead body. We are talking about the Godhead body today, y'all, and we're going to find out to be able to receive the benefits of Jesus Christ, we have to know who he is and know what his statutes are for us. Who is he to us? We have to find that out, and how do we receive him to receive the benefits? For example, I use this as an example all the time. We can't receive benefits from anybody. As parents, we have insurance. We have insurance on our jobs, and we have insurance, you know, other places. But when on your jobs, and those that work can attest to this, and if you have children, we put those children on our insurance, amen, and they are insured by the place that we work. They wouldn't be able to receive that insurance for dental, eye care, you know, whatever it might be. They wouldn't be able to receive those benefits without you as the parent putting that child on there. So they have reaped the benefits of that parent's labor, amen, and they have taken on, basically, they have taken on that parent's name. If that parent leaves them in a will or something like that, and that child has taken on that father's last name, and for example of that is me, I have a benefit of my father because I have my father's last name. There are some things that, you know, down through the years that I was able to receive because of me having my father's last name. I carried the last name. And so that's the same thing with the name of Jesus. When you carry the name of Jesus, you are carrying not only his name, but you're carrying his benefits, the benefit that he has given us. And that is the birthright of your walk with Christ. Amen. But how do we, the question is, how do we receive those benefits? And the second question is, you can't receive the benefits without knowing who he is. I couldn't receive the benefits. If somebody walked up to me and said, do you want benefits in my name? I can't receive those benefits if I don't have their last name, if I don't even know them. I can't. There's no way. So we're going to break down who God is, and we're going to look at some of the benefits in him, amen, that we can have in him, and how can we receive his name? How do we receive his name? It's all tied up underneath the Godhead body, because he has in his statutes, he has put forth a plan for us. He has put forth a plan. He has put forth a plan of deliverance. He has put forth a plan of salvation for us. He has put forth a plan, and underneath these plans, there is one plan, and that plan is his plan. Everything that we receive is underneath God's plan. Amen? And underneath his plan lies things that we need to do to receive those benefits, even in the natural. There are things that we need to do to receive benefits. If you've ever noticed in the natural, if you want health care benefits, you got to sign up for it. If you want for people that have had or people that have, if you have food, if you need food, you can sign up for food stamp benefits. Amen. If you need housing, you sign up for housing benefits, but you have to sign up for them. And we're going to look at how do you sign up? How do you sign up for the benefits of God? Now, let's first look at who God is, first of all. The first thing we look at in the benefits and in the Godhead body is that who is God? Who is he? Who is God? Who is the Father that we call God? Who is the Father? Who is he? And number one, God is a spirit. Amen? He's a spirit. Amen? And some people will ask, well, is there one? Is there two? Am I going to see three? Because some people believe that when they go to heaven that they're going to see two, and some people believe that they're going to see three. That's why we have people that believe in the Trinity. And in the Bible, it does not speak of a Trinity. Trinity means three. Amen. And I know there might be some controversy, but we're here to look at this. In the scriptures, plainly show that there will not be three in heaven, but there's only one. Amen. Any time that there was referred to God in any time there was a reference to God, he always referred himself as one, whether it was in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. When we look in the Bible, we see that God is a spirit. Let's go there first. God is a spirit. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 7. Let's look at that. Amen. I believe it's Acts chapter 7. Let me go there right now. Acts chapter 7, verse 48 and 49. Amen. And it says, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Verse 49, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Now, we see that God, right here, he is a spirit. And as we see, he never referred himself as them, they. He always referred himself as one. So this breaks down. Number one, it breaks down that there's only one. Amen. And we're going to go more in depth into it. But this is the first scripture that we look at, and we see in Acts chapter 7, verse 48 and 49, it shows us that he never said, in verse 49, he said, heaven is my throne, my throne, my throne. He never said heaven is our throne. Amen. He didn't say heaven is our throne and the earth is our footstool. He didn't say that. He said heaven is my throne and earth is my what? Footstool. My footstool. And he said going in depth into verse 49, it says, what house will ye build me? He never said we. He never said us. He said me. What house will you build me? He's talking about himself. God is talking about himself, and this is God in the spirit. Amen. This is where we edge out the controversy of it being two, three, and that, you know, all of that. This is dealing with the Godhead body. Now, let's go in more in depth into it. There is but one God. Amen. And there are several scriptures to prove to us that there is only one God. Let's go to 1 Timothy. Let's see. Let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. This breaks it down, that there is only one God. This 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 5. All right? And it reads, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, that man, Christ Jesus. You might say, wait a minute, Minister Adam. You read it in there, and there's two. There's two right there. You might say, well, yeah, there's two, because it says that there's one God and one mediator. That shows us two. No, it doesn't. No, it does not. When you, like I said earlier, anytime God or when Jesus was walking on the earth, he never referred himself as two. He never referred himself as three. He always referred himself as one. Amen. Amen. To back up this scripture, he said, and I'm going to read it again, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. It says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, that man, Christ Jesus. Well, how was he the mediator? He was the mediator because he died on the cross for our sins. Because God, at first, when sin came into the world, there was a split between God and man. Sin broke us apart from God because God is holy. He wants nothing but holiness near him. And there was a separation. When sin came into the world, there was a separation. And when God wrapped himself in flesh, and we're going to read it, God wrapped himself in flesh and came into the world as Jesus, he became the mediator between God and man. He was God, but yet he was yet man. That's the reason why he said he can feel the feelings of our infirmities, because Jesus was yet on the throne, but yet in body. He was yet God, but he was yet man. The reason why we can say he was yet God, but yet man, he was yet spirit, but yet embodied to feel the feelings of that we feel. How do we know that? When Lazarus died, Jesus wept when Lazarus died. He felt the pain of Lazarus' death, like we feel. That's why he can say he knows the feelings of what? Our infirmities. A spirit cannot feel pain. Amen? A spirit can't die. A spirit can't feel pain. This is why he wrapped himself in flesh, and this is why he was able to be God and feel the human side of us. When he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, another example, this is the human side of Jesus Christ. He said, let this cup pass from me. If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was praying, he prayed this prayer because the fleshly side of him did not want to die. Amen? It's still one God. One God. His fleshly side of him did not want to die. Who wants to, in the flesh, who wants to die? Nobody you got to be crazy if you just want to up and just die. I want to live a long life. The years I have, the Bible says in Proverbs, it says the power of life and death lie in the what? Life and death lie in the power of the tongue. Amen? I want to live long. Jesus' fleshly side did not want to die. He knew what he was getting ready to go through. And the spiritual side let him know that, hey, what he was getting ready to endure. The fleshly side of him did not want to endure that. Nobody wanted to. Who in their right mind? Now, I'm going to be blunt about this. Who in their right mind, if you knew what you had to go through, would you really want to go through the pain that Jesus went through? Do you really want to go through that? No. That's why his flesh is like, wait a minute, we need to talk. His flesh was basically saying, hey, we need to talk about this. Cause this is not what it is. His fleshly side was saying, "Hey, I'm not too keyed up on getting beaten beyond recognition where his own mother hardly couldn't recognize him. And then I'm getting beat on, I'm getting put on a cross, and for nothing? I didn't do anything." Amen? But this is where we see it. Amen? And let's go, like I said, in 1 Timothy, I read 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, and it said, and I'll read it one more time, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, that man Jesus Christ." Now, the reason why he was the mediator, we're getting ready to see why he is the mediator between God and man. This is where I just said that he died. Now watch this. Let's go to St. John. St. John. See, watch this. Watch this, y'all. I love this because this right here, I love this. This is where this is where we get our strength from, amen. And this is where we learn the statutes of God, just studying the scriptures. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved. This is what it is. We learn about Jesus in these scriptures. Now watch this. Let's go to St. John. As we read in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, this backs up that he was the mediator. Watch this. And this backs up that God, that there's only one God. Now watch this. 1 John chapter 1. No, not 1 John. St. John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2. And then drop down to verse 14. All right? St. John chapter 1 and St. John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. And then we're going to drop down to verse 14. Now watch this. St. John chapter 1, verse 1. And it reads, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Amen. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Amen. Just that first verse tells it all. Now watch this. Now you might say, well, that doesn't explain that about the one God. That doesn't explain about Jesus being God. That doesn't explain about the Trinity and all that stuff. Oh, okay. Well, let's just drop down to verse 14 then. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. That shows us right there that Jesus is God. But yet he was on the throne. But yet he was yet on the earth. He was God in the spirit, but yet he was God. He can be at multiple places at the same time. See, we put God in this box like, hey, wait a minute, only God can do this. We're not knocking any denomination or anything like that. I'm not doing that. But what I'm saying is the Word of God backs it up. I'm using the Word. I'm not coming from any other book or any other thing. I have those that know me, when it comes to the Word of God, it comes straight from the Word. It does not come from the book of Adam Tuggle. It comes from the Word of God, the King James Version Bible. That's what I'm reading from. So if anybody has anything that they want to say, you talk to the Lord about it. Amen. But it shows us that he is only one. There's only one. Now, watch this. Watch this. Since we see that there's only one God, now watch this. Let's go to, well, we already showed that Jesus is God, but I want to go deeper into this because I want to show that. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And I'm about to show you, like I said, Jesus was yet both God and man. Now, we saw that Jesus was God. Now, watch this. And we saw in verse 14 of St. John chapter 1, verse 14, that he dwelt among us. And that verse was talking about Jesus. Amen? Amen? Now, watch this. In Isaiah, let's go to Isaiah. Now, this is the Old Testament now. This is the Old Testament. I said it refers to God as being one, but it also brings up Jesus being man in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Okay, and it reads, and now this was a prophecy that was given. Amen. This was a prophecy that was given. This was basically telling what was going to take place. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, if we go to Matthew chapter 1, verse, I believe it's verse 21. Let's go there right quick. Now, this verse right here in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, is talking about Mary bearing Jesus. Now, this is the prophecy. Now, we see it's in the Old Testament now. But this is before Jesus even came into the scene. Amen. In human flesh. Amen. This is not talking about this is talking about Mary conceiving Jesus. Amen. Let's go there. Let's go to Matthew chapter 21, or Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Let's go there right quick. And I'm going to show you that verse in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 talks about it. All right. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And it says, and it reads, and she shall bring forth, here we go, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name what? Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. That was the mediator. Amen. This is what 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5 was talking about. He was when Matthew chapter 1 verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus. And he shall save his people from their sins. This shows us that Jesus is man. So we just proved that in St. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 14, that Jesus is God. And we just proved that Jesus is man. We proved that there is only one God. Now, watch this. Let's go to St. John chapter 10, verse 30, because I like this. I love this. I'm going to show you something. Jesus never referred to God as being two or three. He never referred to himself as being two or three. He never referred to God being two or three. God never referred himself, which is Jesus. See, watch this. Now, let's go to St. John. Let's go to St. John chapter 10, verse 30, right quick. I'm going to show you something. Got to turn the page there. All right. And it reads, St. John chapter 10, verse 30, it reads, I and my Father are what? One. They're one. You might say, well, how in the world can they be one? And he was sitting over there talking when he was praying. What was he talking to himself? You could say that. The natural side was talking to himself. He was talking to him. Yes. I had somebody say something one time. Sometime he was talking to the spiritual side of himself. Amen. The natural side was speaking. It's just like this. We have a fleshly side and we have a spiritual side to us. Amen. And the spirit wars with the flesh all the time. Every day. We in constant battle with our flesh. The flesh itself wants to do the things of the world. Amen. But it's just like me. And I'll use me for example. My flesh wants to if my pastor calls a fast, my flesh don't want to fast. My flesh wants to eat. When there's times of need or financial need, and the Lord is telling me you need to pay your tithes, and my flesh says, well, Adam, you know now that money's a little bit funny. Do you really want to pay your tithes on this next check? And my spiritual side, my spirit, man, is in agreement with God. And we have a choice to choose whether we're going to listen to the flesh or we're going to listen to the spirit of the voice of the Lord. Amen. Amen. The spirit, look, your spirit man, your spiritual side of you, which is your soul craves the things of God. That's why the Bible says, he that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Your flesh don't want the flesh don't want nothing to do with the word of God. The flesh going to do what it want to do. That's why you see people when they in church and they having a good time and all of a sudden they get mad about what the pastor said. They ready to up and leave the church. That's their flesh. That's their flesh. That ain't the spirit. It's not the spirit that's telling them to get up and leave. That's the flesh. Because they mad. Use this for example. If you have somebody that you're at odds with, and or somebody's in odds with you, and they hold a grudge against you, we've seen this down through the lifetimes where people have held grudges for years and years and years, and the person that they hold a grudge against is living life. I mean, that they live in life so free, but that person that's holding that grudge, they are in utter torment. And when I mean utter torment, I don't mean hell. I mean they are in utter torment because they over there hating them. And you know what? If you holding grudges, let me tell you something. This is not in the lesson, but this is a little golden nugget for people that are holding grudges. Get rid of it. I don't know why the Holy Ghost told me to say that, but get rid of it. Get rid of the grudges. Because the only thing that person that is holding that grudge is doing, you are only thing, and I don't know who I'm talking to, as my former pastor used to say. Whoever holding a grudge, I don't care if you in the church or out of the church. And if you're in the church and you holding grudges, let me tell you now, if the rapture was to take place, you ain't making it in. Because there ain't no grudges up here in heaven. I'm sorry. You can't go hating your brother and say you love the Lord. How are you going to say you love God whom you have not seen but hate your brother who you see daily? Amen. I've been there. And let me tell you, Minister Adam Tugwell ain't no goody-goody two-shoes either. I've been there, even in my saved life, where I've held grudges, but I had to quickly come to the realization, hey, wait a minute, if I don't get this together, I'm going to miss the mark, and I'm not missing the mark for nobody. I'm not missing the rapture of the church for nobody. If anything, and I'm going to say it like this, if somebody wants to miss out on the rapture, it should not be because of another person. If you want to miss out, that's fine. But I'm not missing out on the rapture because of Joe and Cindy or whoever else. I'm not missing the rapture. I'll go deeper than that. I'm not missing the rapture for my wife, my children, my parents, my sisters, my brothers, nobody. In-laws, outlaws, whoever. Friends, if they don't want to go, don't hinder me. Amen? If you don't want to go to heaven, that's fine. You, whatever. Because I'm not standing up before God for you, and you're not standing up to get up before God for me. So when it comes to standing before God, I can't go for my wife. I love her dearly. I can't go for her. She can't go for me. She loved me dearly. I can't even go for my children. No, Lord knows I love them. But they got to go for themselves. Amen? But let's get back into this. I'm sorry, y'all. Let's look at this. Let's get even deeper into this. Now, as we see in the Godhead body, because this topic is titled the Godhead body, amen. We're talking about it today. Let's talk about some of the benefits of the Godhead body. Let's talk about some of the benefits. There's one benefit that we have as God being the Redeemer and the Savior of the world. Amen. Jesus being the Savior and Redeemer of the world. Amen. Now watch this. Let's go to Isaiah, because this is let's go to Isaiah chapter 47, verse number 4. Let's go there real quick. Let's look at this. And I want you to take notes. And if you have any questions, you can also hit up my Facebook page right there at Adam Tuggle. You can inbox me your questions, your comments, your concerns, or whatever. If you want to, if you need prayer today, I will pray for you on the air. If you want to do that, that's fine. I don't care. We will pray for you, and everything. We are so happy to be here on today to be able to talk about this topic on today. But in Isaiah chapter 40, I believe I said 47, chapter 47 in verse number 4. We're going to look at that. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 47, verse number 4, and it reads, "As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel." Now, this is a benefit. This is a benefit when we talk about the Godhead body, when we talk about the benefits of the name of Jesus. Amen. This right here. Now, in the Old Testament, you don't see the name Jesus in the Old Testament anywhere. But in the New Testament, the reason why I'm saying this, let me clarify this before I say this. The Old Testament of the Bible is Christ concealed. The New Testament of the Word of God, of the Bible, is Christ revealed. I'm going to say it again. The Old Testament, Genesis, all the way leading up, amen, to Malachi, is the Old Testament, and that is Christ concealed. From Matthew all the way to Revelations is the New Testament, and that is Christ revealed. Amen. He reveals himself. He shows himself strong. Amen. Amen. So this right here shows us, and I'm going to read it again. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name. Amen. I said you got to have the name. You got who? What is the name? What is his name? His name. The Lord, the Holy One of Israel. What is his name? Amen. Now watch this. Let's go to Titus. Let's go to all the way to Titus. Let's go all the way to Titus, because this will back up what the name is. Amen. Amen. Let's go to Titus. Titus chapter 1, verses. Hold on. Wait a minute. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's go to Titus chapter 1, and let's read, and I'll read it until the Lord says stop. We'll start at verse number 1. Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Amen. He did promise this, but in due times manifest his word through preaching, which is commanded unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. To Titus, my own son, after the commandment faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now that shows us that he's our Redeemer and our Savior. Redeemer is another word for Savior. He redeemed us. He is our Savior. Amen. He redeemed us when he went to the cross. So this shows us that Jesus is our Redeemer. That we have to take on. Now, how do we know what is the benefit? Amen. That's the benefit. That's one benefit. Amen. One benefit that we know that he is our Redeemer. He redeemed us. Amen. That he gave his life so that we might have eternal life. Amen. Let's look at how do we receive the benefits of God. Let's look at this. Now, anytime you saw in the Old Testament when it was dealing with God, it was always they always referred to God being God or Lord. In New Testament, they said God, Jesus, or Lord. Amen. Which means, and the reason why, and God gave me this. The Lord gave me this. You can create anything. You can make anything out of a God. Amen? But just because you say God does not mean that a person, just because a person is saying God does not mean that they're serving Jesus. This notebook that I have in front of me, I can make that out of a God even though it can't do nothing for me. We sometimes make things out of gods and we don't even know it. That's why the Bible says, thou shalt put no other gods, what, before me. And there's some things that we make out of gods and we know what we're doing. But there should be no other God before him. And you might say, well, how do I make things out of God? We can make our car out of a God. If whatever you spend more time doing other than what God has told you to do, or if you're putting God on the back burner for someone or thing, that can become a God. And God, he is a jealous God. He said he will not give his glory to another. Jesus is he is a jealous God. Amen. He's jealous. Amen. So let's look, how do we receive the benefits of the Godhead body? How do we receive the benefits? Well, let's go to, well, first off, there is some down through the generations of the church, there has been some talk, and we're going to clear it up today, because you know I don't run from it. I deal with it, and we're going to deal with it in Jesus' name. There is some controversy in the church whether or not how we should be saved. Amen? How should we be saved? How should we be saved? Should we be saved by Matthew 28:19? Or should we be saved under Acts 2:38? Should we be baptized? Should we not be baptized? Should we, how do we be baptized? There's controversy in there, and we're going to clear it up today. Amen. So, first off, I'm going to look at where we're going to look at the first thing. The first thing that we're going to look at is what the church says is to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We're going to look at that. And then there are some in the church that say you're supposed to be baptized in Jesus' name. And then there are some that say, well, you can choose which one you want to be saved under. You can choose to be baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. You can choose to be baptized in Jesus' name. We're going to take a look and see what the Bible says. Okay? Let's go to Matthew 28:19. Amen. Let's go there right quick. Matthew 28:19. And we're going to look at it. And this is, and I'm coming from the Word of God here. This is from the Word of God. And this can help you in your witnessing as well when you tell somebody about Jesus. So take these scriptures down. Take these scriptures down. I encourage everybody to go back. I hope you're, if you're writing in your car, I know you can't write anything down, but if you're listening to me, and you're sitting at your desk or whatever, and you're listening, if you could write some of these scriptures down, that would be great. Matthew 28:19. And the reason why I'm going here first is because there has been a lot of controversy throughout the years that you can be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. So we're gonna see what Jesus said, because these are Jesus's words right here. It's written in red. The Bible, on King James Version Bibles, they say anything that's written in red, Jesus said it. Amen. All right? Came out of Jesus' mouth. All right. And it reads, Matthew 28:19. It reads, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Now, you might say, well, that clears it up right there. That clears it up. Jesus said to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's what he said. No, he did not. He did not say that. He did not say go baptize people in Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He did not say that. When we look in depth into the scripture, that's why the Bible says study to show thyself approved. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the what? The Father." Who's the Father? Father is not a name. It said in the name of. It didn't say in the names. Father is not a name. Son, and it says, and of the Son. Son is not a name. And of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is not a name. Holy Ghost is not a name. Son is not a name. And Father is not a name. All right? What is the name that we should baptize in? What is the name? Well, we already read Matthew 1, verse 21. We already know who the Son is because we read that in Matthew 1 and 21 that she shall bring forth a son and they shall call his name Jesus. So that takes care of the Son. We've already established who the Son is. Now let's look and see who the Father is. Amen. Let's go to John, St. John chapter 5, verse 43. Let's go there real quick. Let's go there. St. John chapter 5, verse 43. And we're going to look at this. We're going to talk about it. St. John chapter 5, verse 43. All right? And it reads, "I am come in," what? "My Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, ye will receive him." There it is. Now we know who the Father is. This is Jesus talking. This is Jesus talking. God is telling us who his name is. He said, "I am come in," what? "My Father's name." God is not a name. Because there's so, in the Old Testament, they served a lot of gods. There was God of the sun and God of this and God of that. And they had names attached to them. God of the sun. Okay, that God had a name. There's gods even today, that there's false gods even today that all worship. Not to knock anybody's religion, not to knock anybody's beliefs, but there is only one God, the one true God, and that's Jesus. There's Muslims that serve, they serve Allah. There's Buddhists who serve Buddha. Amen. But there's only one true and living God. When I had a friend one time that he was a Muslim. And he began to tell me that I was serving the wrong God. And this is a testimony to what God can do. And I'm talking about Jesus Christ. And he said, if you really serve that, you really serve that God called Jesus. I said, yes. He said, but he has no power. And I began to tell him my testimony. And he began to tell me what all I did for him and stuff. I said, okay, that's good. Cool beans. What you believe, that's what you believe. Now, at this time, I was about 12, 13 years old. And he said, well, let's do this. Let's find out who the real God is. Okay, how are we going to do that? He said, we are both going to pray right now out loud to God. I'm going to pray to my God and you pray to your God. I said, okay, what are we going to pray for? He said, we're going to pray for some money. And we cannot ask our parents for that money. I said, all right, that's fine. I ain't got no job. You ain't got no job. There we go. How much money are we going to pray for? He said, we're going to pray that the Lord, that God sends us, that our God send us $20. Okay, that's fine. Good, all right. So I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, send me $20. I just need $20. While I was praying out loud, I was also praying on the inside because I'm like, Lord, I need the $20 because I'm 13 years old. But I want you to prove yourself to him. Prove yourself to him. So that it'll show that you are who you say you are. I don't really need the money. I mean, I need the money, but you know what I mean. Because I was 13 years old at the time, y'all. But I began to pray. And after I prayed, he began to pray. He was saying, Allah, you know, do this and do that. And he said, if whoever has the money by the end of the week, that's who God's real. That's whose God is real. I said, okay. So Monday came. It was that Saturday. It was on a Saturday. And that Sunday, I went to church. And I didn't think no more about it. I just, you know, prayed that one time and let it go. Sunday came. No, nothing. Monday came, nothing. Tuesday came, nothing. And Wednesday came, nothing. Thursday, I got a phone call. I think it was Thursday or Friday or something like that. Thursday, my grandfather from California, he said, grandson, now I didn't ask him for anything. He said, grandson, I'm going to send you some money, and it's on the way. I've already put it in the mail. It should be there by this weekend. And I said, well, I'm curious now. I'm like, well, how much did you send? He said, I thought about sending you $25, but I put in there $100. And I'm going to send you $100. I said, okay, all right. And by the time the weekend got there, I had my money in the mail. My dad gave me my money and everything. And my friend that was a Muslim, he came to me that weekend and said, did you get your money? I said, yep, sure did. Did you get yours? Nope. He said, you got your $20? I said, nope. He said, but I thought you said you got your money. I said, no, I got more than that. He said, what? I said, no, I got $100. He said, how'd you get $100? Because I prayed to God for $20 and God sent me more. he was like, oh my God. He said, oh, my God. I said, see, the Lord will have you saying, oh, my God. But it just showed that God was real. He proved himself. through the blessing that he gave me, he proved himself. And because I trusted that God was who he said he was, amen, you can make anything out of a God. That's why I said there's a lot of people that serve God. That's why I said God has to have a name. And the only way for you to receive the benefits of God, you have to take on the name. You have to take on the name of Jesus. And how do we take on the name of Jesus? It's not by being bad. This right here is showing us, and what I said, St. John chapter 5, verse 43. And we saw that God is the Father. He is. He said he's the Father. And Jesus said that he was the Father. We see that. Amen. Now let's look at this. Let's go to St. John chapter 14, verse 26 real quick, because we're running low. We're getting close to time now. And then let's go to St. John chapter 14, verse 26, and we'll go back to the other scripture of the Son. I'm going to read that again, but let's go to, we've already established that Jesus is the Father. We've established that Jesus is the Son, and we're getting ready to establish what the Holy Ghost name is. Amen. Let's go to St. John chapter 14, verse 26. St. John chapter 14, verse 26. Let's go there real quick. And let's look at this. Let's look at this. St. John chapter 14, verse 26. And it reads, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name." Amen. This is Jesus talking. I'm going to read that part again. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Now, we've just established who the Holy Ghost is. He said he will send the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, in his name, in Jesus' name. So, why it said in Matthew 28:19, "Go ye therefore, teach all nations, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." This is telling us to, this Matthew 28:19, all Matthew 28:19 is that this is the Great Commission. This was the Great Commission. He was commanded. Commission means command in military terms. What he was doing was he was commanding his disciples. Before he left off the scene, he was commanding his disciples to baptize, to teach in his name and to baptize in his name. Now watch this. Why would Jesus, for the people that believe, to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, he said to teach in Jesus' name, why would he have them teach in Jesus' name but baptize in titles? Don't make no sense. It don't make no sense. Father is not a name. It said baptize in the name. It didn't say names. Why? Because Father is not a name. If I walk down the street, look, and I'm going to say it like this. If I walk down the street and somebody, a child that's not mine says father, I'm gonna look at them like, wait a minute, I'm not your father. I'm gonna look at that child like, wait a minute, hold up, I know who my boys are. I'm not your father. I can help you find your father, but I'm not your daddy. Amen. If I'm walking down the street and somebody says, "Hey, son," I'm gonna look at them like they're crazy because they not my father. That's not my daddy. So why are you calling? Now, I know people say, hey, son, and, you know, whatever. You know, that's something totally different. But if somebody's trying to literally say, oh, hey, son, how you doing? I'm your daddy. No, you're not. I'm going to look at them like they're crazy. My name is Adam. If they're trying to call me, hey, Mark, I'm turn around. Who's Mark? I don't know. What are you talking about, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John or something? Talking about the first few books of the Bible, of the New Testament or something? What are you talking about? My name is Adam. Okay. It's just like this. I have a name, but I'm going to give this example. It's the best example I can give. I am a father to my children. I am a son to my parents. And I am a husband to my wife. Those are titles given to me. I'm a father, I'm a son, and I'm a husband. But my name is Adam. But I have a name attached to those titles. Same thing with Jesus. If you write out a check for, $2 million, $3 million, she'd receive it. Amen. But if I write her out a check and I put on there, she's a mother, she's a daughter, and she's filled with the Holy Ghost. And she take that check to the bank and put that check up there and tries to get that money out of there, they're going to look at her like she's crazy. Vice versa with me. If she write me out a check and she put, I'm a father, I'm a husband, and I'm a son. Those are titles. What is my name? They want to know what your name is to receive the benefits of that money. That's the same thing. To receive the benefits of God, you have to take on the name of Jesus. You have to take on the name of Jesus. The benefits of the name of Jesus, you have to take on his name. That's why I said it at the beginning of the show. What my father did, me taking on my father's last name, I had benefits given to me through him. Through what? My father. And we have spiritual and natural benefits in Jesus Christ when we take on his name. Amen. And if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, let me tell you something. You will not see heaven. You will not see heaven if you're not filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost today. If the rapture was to take place now, and if you are not filled with the Holy Ghost, and I mean speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, you will not make it in. And the reason why I can say that is because you would have died in your sin, or you would have been left behind in your sin. No sin can go to glory. Sin was kicked out of heaven when Satan did what he did. Or what did Satan do? He tried to be above God, and God kicked him out, and I think it was 1/3 of the angels were kicked out of heaven with him. Because that was a sin. He said, I will not give my glory to another. There shall be no other gods before me. He was trying to put himself above God, and he got kicked out. He sinned. He tried to put himself above God. He sinned. He got kicked out. It is what it is. There will be no sin in heaven. The Bible says narrow is the way. There's a way. The Bible also says that there is a way that seemeth right to man, but the end thereof is death. The Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. The wages of sin. When you commit a sin, that is a wage that needs to be paid. The down payment for sin is death. That's why Jesus died. He died in your place so that you might have life, so that I might have life. But when you sit over there, when we sit over there, whether you be in the church or out of the church, it don't matter. If you sinning and if you lollygagging, partying it up, living it up, or whatever you trying to do, I want one more night with the frogs. I'm going to get saved when I get older. There is no guarantee. You have no guarantee on life, especially nowadays. There is no guarantee. There is no guarantee that we'll see tomorrow. There is no guarantee that we'll even make it through the night. There is no guarantee. There are so many people playing Russian roulette with their lives. There are so many people playing Russian roulette with their lives. When you step out the door and you don't have the Holy Ghost, you are playing Russian roulette with your life. Because there are people that left out their door and did not come back. They did not come back through it. Let's take a look. And I don't mean to go here, but I'm gonna use this as an example. George Floyd. He thought he was gonna go home and see his family. Go back and see his family. He didn't know that he was going to die that day. Amen? But out of all of the circumstances, he didn't make it back home. There are people that, and not even just George Floyd. I'm talking about things that are going on in this world. We had a lot of deaths last year over the coronavirus, over COVID-19. And there's still people dying from it. There are people. I had a friend, very young. I'll take that back. I had two friends that died. One died in their sleep, and the other one was murdered. We have not a monopoly on life. Look, let me tell you something. If you die without the Holy Ghost, you might as well hang it up, because you will not see heaven. But God, and it's a slap. And let me tell y'all something else. If you die, or if you leave this world, or if you're left behind without the Holy Ghost, you are slapping God in the face. You have just slapped God in the face. Well, how did I slap God in the face? Because God died for you. God died that you might have life, and you did not accept it. That's why. And that's a slap in God's face. And does it make him sad that people go, that people choose with their life to go to hell? Yes, it makes God sad. It makes him sad. It makes him mad. But that's the choice that they chose. They may have said with their mouth, I want to go to heaven. I've said it before and I'll say it again. There's a lot of great NBA players. There's a lot of great NFL players. But very few go to the Hall of Fame. There's a lot of people that say that they want to go to heaven. There's a lot of people that said that they're going to heaven. There's a lot of pastors that try to preach people into heaven, but that does not make it so. That does not make it so. You must be holy. He said, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. You got to be holy in this. You got to be righteous in this. You got to give your all to this. I know we're talking about the Godhead body, but let me tell you something. When we look at ourselves, when we take it upon ourselves to just look in the mirror at ourselves, we just need to take inventory of ourselves, even us being saved. We need to take inventory of ourselves. That's why the Bible says that we should pray and repent daily. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. David was the apple of God's eye. Why? Because he was always repenting. He was always repenting. Well, you might say, well, them people in the Bible days, they weren't filled with the Holy Ghost. The people in the Old Testament were saved by faith. The reason why they were saved by faith is because there was no Holy Ghost to be given out yet. So you can't use that. Yes, they were saved by faith. They were saved by faith. They were saved up until from Genesis all the way up to the day of Pentecost. Everybody was saved by faith. Everybody was saved by faith. But when the day of Pentecost happened, and you might say, well, what about the thief on the cross? When Jesus said, you shall be with me in paradise, there was no Holy Ghost to be given out because Jesus hadn't died yet, and the Holy Ghost wasn't given out. So, yes, he was saved by faith. He will see heaven because there was no Holy Ghost to be given out yet. So everybody that died, that went off the scene before the Holy Ghost was given out, they were saved by faith. That's why that they had a covering. They had to burn in, come into the temple and give sacrifices to cover their sins. They didn't have anything to take away their sins, but they would give sacrifices. The high priest would go into the temple, into the holies of holies, and give sacrifices for the sins. Amen? They would ask for forgiveness for their sins, and they would give sacrifice of doves, bullocks, or whatever it might be. And that would cover them. But when Jesus came and died, he became the ultimate sacrifice, and he shed his blood. He became the that's why he was the mediator between God and man, because it would only cover their sins. Before God was the mediator, before Jesus became the mediator, God and man were separate from their sins. And they would only in the sacrifices that man used to give God would only cover. But when Jesus died, that meant there was no more. That's why we don't have to give sacrifices anymore. That's why we don't have to give burnt sacrifices. Now, the Bible does say in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I present you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is what it's talking about. Giving your life. He wants a life, as my former pastor used to say, he wants a life for life. That's all he wants. He wants a life for life. There was a young lady, one of my Facebook friends, Sister Newbell, and she said on one of her Facebook posts, it was an Easter morning when I read this on her Facebook post, and she said, his death certificate became your birth certificate. His death certificate became your birth certificate. And that has always stuck with me. His death on the cross became your way out of sin. His death on the cross became your lifeline. Amen. So if you don't take on, now how do we get to this? Because we've been talking about Matthew 28:19, but we haven't went in depth to how do we receive it. Well, I'm about to go there. Let's go. Let's go to Acts 2 and 38. Amen? Acts 2 and 38. And there was a lot of people that were saved in Jesus' name, that were baptized in Jesus' name. This is what this is talking about. Let's go to Acts 2 and 38. Acts 2 and 38. One of the most favorite scriptures that I know. Acts 2 and 38. All right. Let's read that. Acts 2 and 38. And let's I'm going to read 38 and 39 just to show you something, just to show you. And this is matter of fact, hold on. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, but let's read verses 1 through 4 first before we read Acts 2 and 38. Let's read verses 1 through 4. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, real quick. And then we're going to read Acts 2 and 38 and 39. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all on one accord in one place. Now, watch this. Every time, I said it earlier, every time God referred himself or referred something about him, he always referred that one. He always said one. He never said two, three, whatever. Two, three, four, and five ways to receive the Holy Ghost. No, one. Amen? There's only one. So when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, you might say, well, Minister Adam, why did you read that? Because I said it earlier that for you to be able to receive the Holy Ghost, you know, you have to repent first. You have to be baptized. And you'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. And you will speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Because some people don't believe in tongues anymore. Some people believe it's just a gift. Some people believe that certain people can only speak in tongues. Let me tell you something. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you will speak in tongues. The Bible says in Hebrews, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change his word. What he did on the day of Pentecost to receive the Holy Ghost, that's what he's doing today. Amen. You will speak in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. You will. There's no way around it. You will speak in tongues. You will. As what they did on the day of Pentecost. There's no other way around it. Now let's go to Acts 2 and 38 and 39. Acts 2 and 38 and 39, it reads, verse 38 reads, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in what? In the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now watch this. Verse 39 says, for this promise is unto you and unto your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord thy God shall call. Why did I read, but you might say, well, it says it in there that we have to repent and have to be baptized, and we'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. But it don't say nothing about speaking in tongues. That's why I read Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Because the Holy Ghost is a spirit. We can't see the Holy Ghost. Just like you can't see the wind. Uh-huh. But you can see it. You know that it's there when it's blowing through the trees. If you're looking out of a window and the wind is blowing, slightly blowing, you can't tell that the air is standing there. You can't tell that the air is there. Now, if you see the trees blowing, you know that the air is there because there's evidence that how did the tree move? The wind blew it. The evidence. God is a spirit. We've established that. The Holy Ghost is a spirit. You can't see the Holy Ghost. How do we know that we have the Holy Ghost? Here we go. You will speak in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. You will speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. And in these last 5 minutes that I have, I'm getting ready to say this to you because we going home now. But you have to understand, the only way to receive the benefits of the name of Jesus, and the only way to tap into the realness of the Godhead body, is you have to tap in to the Holy Ghost. You have to be the main source of it all is the main core of this topic today is that you have to, number one, you have to repent. Repentance means you have to be godly sorry for everything that you've done. Amen. And then you have to be baptized in Jesus' name. There are some people that say, well, there's some people that don't believe in the baptism anymore. And there are some that, well, what does baptism mean? In, I believe it's the Hebrew tongue, baptism means, I think it's the Hebrew language or the Greek language, one of the two. It means baptizo, which means submerge, which means you must go underneath the water. The repentance and the baptism and being filled with the Holy Ghost is symbolic of your death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's symbolic of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Once you repent, that is your spiritual death. Once you are baptized in Jesus' name, that is your spiritual burial. And once you receive the Holy Ghost, that is you coming up in the newness of life. That's you walking in life. The death, burial, and resurrection, that's your resurrection in your new life. And you can be holy. Amen. The Bible says, be ye holy for I am holy. And that's the way you get into heaven, walking holy, walking upright. And he will help you. He will help you. Once you receive the Holy Ghost, he will help you live right. It'll help you walk right. It'll help you talk right. It'll help you live right. When the person messing with you on your job and you wanna say something back, but you really don't, I've been there. I had to deal with it on this week, believe it or not. Had somebody on my job tell me something, and I had to bite my tongue. They were getting loud, and I said, God bless you. Amen. The Holy Ghost will help you when your flesh want to lash out, or when your flesh don't want to do something. The Holy Ghost, that's why I said we got to ride with the Spirit. Amen. I hope that this topic has blessed you on today. I hope that it has been a blessing unto all that have heard this and all that will hear it in Jesus' name.
Yes.
God bless you. I love each and every one of you. I thank you, Bishop Cook, for allowing us to come once again in Jesus' name to teach on the Godhead body. And in the benefits of the name of Jesus, because there are benefits in his name. I hope that you have a very blessed week. And as it states in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way to make it to heaven. This is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace. In Jesus' name. This is The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle, and this is the Spirit Alive Network, where you receive a transformation of your life in the Word of God. In Jesus'
Hallelujah.
Name. God bless you. And we will see you next week. In Jesus' name.
Amen.